Ron Gibson, Chairman, President, CEO of Questar Corporation.
We've been covering the Bakken now for a couple of years. In 2012, we called 2013 the year of pad drilling. Last year, in about October, we called 2014, our current year, the year of natural gas. And it certainly has been in the Bakken with One Oak and Hess and North Dakota LNG with some of the refineries coming on. In your world, what do you make of that comment, 2014 is the year of natural gas?
Well, I think it's very applicable. I think, it started prior to 14, but obviously the shale plays have been a paradigm shift in our industry. We always knew there was gas in the shale, but we never could economically get that gas out. Now with the technologies of horizontal drilling and the ability to continue to use fracking. Fracking isn't new. We've been doing it for 25 years. But with the technologies, we're able to not only get the gas out of the shale, but get it very economically, some of the lowest cost plays. And so as a result of that, you now have an abundance of natural gas that we've never had before. And for many, many years, dating back to the 70s with President Carter, when he said, we're going to be out of gas in the next 8 to 10 years. He was right. We had an issue at that time. But as always, the ingenuity and smart people found ways to change that and found ways to develop the natural resources and do it very effectively and prudently. And so it is a year of natural gas in the sense that we have a very strong abundance of natural gas. We can now look at natural gas beyond just space heating and water heating. We can look at it for enhanced power generation, continued building more and more plants on natural gas. It's a backup to all renewable energy. And at the same time, we can use it for natural gas for transportation and do all of this. And we can even look at exporting natural gas, which 6 years ago, we were considered an importing country. Now we're looked at as an exporter of natural gas. So I think you've got a situation where natural gas is certainly going to be an abundant, not a bridge fuel, it's going to be abundant foundation fuel, and it's very important to prudently and cautiously, we need to be careful as we partner with environmental concerns, but we can do that and we can develop this resource and use it for much more. Lessen our dependence on foreign oil, and be able to take care of our own in the country as we need to do. I think it is a year of that. I think there's a lot of talk about EPA rules and coal being replaced with natural gas, and I think we need to be very careful there. But we need to look at all forms of energy. We need to be using oil. We need to be using coal. We need to be using natural gas. We need to develop renewable energy. We need to continue to look at hydro. We need to continue to look at the opportunities for nuclear. I think to meet the demands that we have in the future, we're going to need all forms of energy. And it's probably not a great situation to have just one foundation fuel. So as people talk about natural gas being that foundation fuel, we believe it is. We think we have the abundance for it. But we also have to be cognizant that we need a large portfolio of many supplies of energy. And that includes the development and better technologies in all areas.
You mentioned transportation, whether it be CNG or LNG. Is that the type of transportation that we're talking about with natural gas, the conversion and some of the filling stations? You guys are involved with that. Talk to me a little bit about that transportation when it comes to natural gas. That seems to be the wave of the future.
It really is. And we've had... we're behind a lot of countries in this regard, but we got our kind of one foot into it back in the 90s, and then with the advent of more computerized engines and different kits for replacement or for conversions, it made it difficult to continue that market. And plus, I'm not sure the American public was ready for smaller vehicles and so forth. But I think what we've seen, again, because of the abundance, is you now have what I would call the foundation market, which is your mid-size vehicles. These would be your trash hauling vehicles, your buses, commuter shuttles and so forth. where the economics are just a flat-out no-brainer. They're seeing tremendous savings, and again, abundance of natural gas makes that possible. So you'll very likely see 70% of the trash hauling vehicles within the next 2 years will be running on natural gas. I've heard figures of about 49% today. So, you know, the medium-sized, mid-sized vehicles, transit buses and so forth, are definitely the foundation of this shift. The large vehicles, the big semi-trucks, are now what I would call the emerging market. They're we're seeing tremendous results from companies like Swift Trucking and Central Freight Lines, major companies like Frito-Lay and Dart Transportation, who have made major commitments to convert a large number of vehicles who are buying the engines currently available in a 12-liter engine. And we're seeing the trucking industry really take hold of this. And it's saving them money. It's, you know, all of the little issues are being resolved that were there originally of where to fuel. Again, we're out building those kind of facilities in the right locations. How to fill. We're seeing the filling times of natural gas, CNG, and LNG are filling as quickly as the diesel was filled into the trucks. The drivers love them, and companies are moving that direction. So I think it truly, in the United States, we're seeing finally the needle move to a point where I think we're going to be very competitive in the rest of the world, and we'll see this market continue to grow and develop. The passenger vehicles are probably the market that's being pulled along right now. I think we're going to need to see home refueling at a very economical rate, and technology. There are devices currently available, but we need to get the price down on home refueling units. When that happens, I think you'll see the passenger market also take off. So, you know, it's exciting. I think it's one of the things that we get asked probably the most questions about. And the results that we're seeing really show that it's going to happen now. And we're very excited to be part of that. We're building these major facilities literally from the West Coast to the East Coast, and in strategic locations. A lot of cities that many people haven't heard about, but they're major hubs for major trucking companies. And we're going to see that market continue.
Now, when you said at home, is that exactly how it sounds, where I can pull into my garage and there's a filling station in my garage, or maybe outside, hooked into the propane tank or the propane line?
It definitely is. These units are attached directly to the home natural gas system. It does not take any different pipelines. It doesn't take a different service line in the home. It just needs to be tapped onto. They're slow fill. So the concept is, with a lot of the new vehicles that are being introduced by Detroit, we're starting to see passenger vehicles now that are dual fuel, recognizing that the majority of miles people put on their vehicles are commuter miles each day. And so the philosophy is that you have a vehicle that, say, has a 150-mile range on natural gas. People can drive to work every day. They come home. They plug in their garage. By the next morning, they've got a full tank again ready to go. If they decide to drive somewhere outside of the range of a natural gas filling station on the weekend, they can run on their gasoline in the vehicle. So it's a great philosophy. It can be done right on their home unit. Their natural gas utility companies can install these. They can maintain them for a very small cost per month. And the customers, for very low cost, have that convenience of being able to literally fill at home each day.
Put a plug out for Blaze Energy out of Bismarck, North Dakota. They've got some natural gas trucks out in the Bakken, and they fill up at their shop at the end of the night, just to kind of validate some of your points. A couple more questions, if you don't mind. The next one you can bypass, because it does become controversial depending on who you're talking to. Just comments on importing, exporting. I know it depends on if you're One Oak or if you're Dow, how the answer is going to come. So
yeah, that's a great point. And I chaired the American Gas Association last year and spoke throughout the country and the world, and I got asked that question literally by every audience. And it's one that we think we support. I think exporting of natural gas is an opportunity for us in the United States. We have the abundance, we have the supply. And if you really look at it, just about everyone, and I can't think of too many exceptions to this, estimate that the total market for exporting LNG will probably be 10% or less of the total demand in the United States. Currently in the 65 to 70 BCF per day range is our current demand. That could go up to 80, say, in 2020 or so. The estimates I've heard are anywhere between 5 and maybe 8 BCF per day of export. That'll be controlled not only by permitting, but it's controlled by economics more than anything. And again, if we allow free market to work, if we allow supply and demand to work, there are a lot of other countries that have a lot of natural gas that are closer to some of these markets. The world market will keep the exporting from the United States, I think, in that range. And so if you see that percentage, it's very unlikely that will have major impact on price. May have a very moderate impact, but it would be moderate. We have the supplies, it's jobs, it's opportunities, it's keeping producers producing natural gas, it's being able to move that gas elsewhere. At the same time, there's plenty of production, plenty of natural gas for the domestic market. So, you know, we support it. I think it needs to be prudently watched. I don't know that it needs a lot of government control, but I think what it needs is really to just be allowed to work in a free market enterprise, and I think it'll be controlled. And I certainly acknowledge the concerns of the Dows and others who chemical companies, steel companies who have come back to the United States because of the low price of natural gas. Obviously, you should be concerned about anything that would drive natural gas prices higher. But I think what will mitigate that is, again, the volumes will be small, and these plants are extremely expensive, even though there's 20-something that are on the books right now to be permitted. They're not all going to get permitted, first of all. They're not all going to get built. So there will be a limited number of plants. It will be a limited amount of volume of natural gas. And I think it's something that can be balanced very well.
Last year at an investors conference, I interviewed Ken DQ Bellis. He's the CEO of Blackridge Oil and Gas. He was a former executive for ExxonMobil, and he made a comment that the petrochemical industry is forecasted to invest about $30 billion into infrastructure. I spoke with a number of representatives down in Louisiana, and they made a comment, it's like Chemical Row down there, some of the advances happening. Also, some of the things happening in Qatar, for example. Where do you see the future of natural gas going with these major investments? Do you see 10 years from now a global price on natural gas?
Well, I think, the world is becoming smaller in that sense. I think technology has made that possible, and I think there's more and more interaction and capability for interface between other countries and what we're seeing. And so I think, in a sense, it'll be more of a global type environment and world than what we see today. And so I think that is very likely. But it's an amazing thing to watch what's taking place with technologies and innovation, and we're doing so much more with less. We're able to produce natural gas on a much smaller footprint. We're working in conjunction with environmental companies on methane emissions and on the kinds of issues that we need to be aware of. And we're seeing better technologies that are making that possible. We're working with industry. We're trying to meet the needs of what those petrochemical companies need and others. And I think it's, the globe is getting much more connected, and still a lot of water in between all of us, but we're seeing that change. And I think 10 years from now, it'll be much more of an interconnected world than what we see today.
Lee Tillman from Marathon Oil answered the question that it's possible, but it's very expensive to ship that molecule from the Bakken to Southeast Asia.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and we're seeing it in so many energy industries. You look at natural gas being exported. We're also looking at, obviously, the oil opportunities. Whoever thought, that you could do that from the United States? And we talked yesterday about coal. And it's true that, with new EPA rules and so forth in the United States, it's going to be more difficult to see new coal-fired plants built. But there's export opportunities for that coal, and they're taking advantage of that. And I think the coal industry and the executives there of major companies will find ways to be successful. Again, when we allow the market to work, people are very innovative, and they find how to survive. And that's one thing we've been able to do over many years. And I think the future looks very bright from that standpoint.
Thank you, sir.